Mark chapter 9. The Gospel of Mark chapter 9. This is always a very curious time every Sunday for me, because I stand up here knowing what's coming and you have no idea. I know what I'm going to preach about, and you're just sitting there waiting and seeing what it's going to be. And it's always a challenge for the preacher looking at it to know where he's going and make sure he can bring everybody along on the ride. We're in Mark chapter 9 this morning, beginning in verse number 14. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" Speaking of the disciples. And one of the multitude answered, said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Now, Father, again, we do thank you for this Sunday, this opportunity we have together, this first day of the week, to gather here this morning, to fellowship with each other, to sing songs of praise to you, and, Father, most of all, to hear from your word. I pray, Father, that you would bless your word here this morning. Bless the things that are said. And, Father, bless your word to each and every heart, to each and every hearer. Father, meet the needs that are represented here in this room. We pray especially, as always, Father, if there should be one today that's come in not knowing Christ as their Savior, not knowing they're going to heaven when they die, not having that assurance, that, Father, through the preaching of your word this morning, you would convict them and challenge them, show them their need for Jesus Christ, and help them today to let go and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. For we that are saved, Father, I pray you take that part of the message for us and speak to our hearts and challenge us. And Father, help us to receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God, not the Word of man. Father, I pray you bless your Word to each and every heart. God, we need to hear from heaven this morning. We need to hear from you. We need to be challenged in our love and our devotion to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you begin with me. Father, work through every member of this congregation here this morning. Challenge us and help us in our minds and our hearts to focus on the things of God and what you have for us from your precious word here this morning. We ask you to meet with us and do the work that only you can do. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. I want you to notice the passage we have here this morning. There's a small little two-letter word that appears twice. And though this is such a small word, the entire story we just read hinges upon this small little word. It's the word if. Do you see it? Look down if you would in verse number 22. And in verse 22, the Bible says, as the Father described the torment of his son, oft times the Spirit hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And the Father says, but if thou canst do anything. And then Jesus replies in verse number 23, and we see this word a second time. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Just as a big, mighty door swings on small hinges. So some of the big, mighty deeds and stories of the Bible swing on this small little word, if. It really is an amazing word in the English language. It's used in so many different cases and so many different situations. There are the ifs of doubt. The ifs of doubt. We would say, well, I wonder if I should. The if of doubt. In the Bible, it's expressed this way. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil is tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, if thou be the Son of God. The if of doubt. So prominent is it in the Bible that even the thief on the cross, the one, the malefactor that railed on Jesus, said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. The if of doubt. The word if in our language can also express regret. If I had only. Ever said that before? The if of regret. Martha said that to Jesus in John chapter 11 when her brother Lazarus had died. Said to Jesus, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's the if of regret. And then there's also an if, and it's the if I want to focus on this morning. It's the if of decision. The if of decision. In the world, we might express it this way. You get an email. If you will send us your social security number and your bank account number, we will deposit in your account $3.5 million that you have inherited from, if you will. Now, you got a decision to make. You can answer that and get ripped off, or are you going to let it go and delete it? The if of decision. In the Bible, it's described this way in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. An if of decision. We find two of those ifs here in Mark chapter 9. I want you to notice this morning that two of these different cases are found here. And if a third one would have been found, it wouldn't have been a good one. It would have been an if of regret. But we find, first of all, the if of doubt in verse number 22, because the father says, if thou canst do anything. He's not sure Jesus can help his son. He's got some element of belief because he's traveled a long distance to meet Jesus as he's come down from the Mount of Transfiguration at the beginning of this chapter. He's brought his son to the disciples. They couldn't do anything. They were powerless. Now he brings him to Jesus and he says, if thou canst do anything, he's got some doubt, the if of doubt. But Jesus gives him the choice of if of decision in verse number 23, if thou canst believe. I like how Jesus used the exact same words. Notice in verse 22, the Father says, if thou canst do anything. And Jesus says, if thou canst believe. Can I say it this way? The ball is in the Father's court. There's no question whether Jesus can do it or not. The question is whether or not the Father is going to believe and have his son healed. And can I tell you, we've read the rest of the story. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. But the father believes and has no regrets. There's no if of regret to follow because he makes the right decision. He says, Lord, I believe, and his son is healed. I want to speak to you this morning on this third category of ifs, the ifs of decision. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 10, and I've quoted the verse already. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 10. I want you to notice this morning this small word if and how often it pops up in very important places in the Bible. Very important, a very small word. And yet, as we said, on it hinges many big events and occurrences, not only in the Word of God, but in your life today. If. Notice, if you would, here in Romans chapter 10, we find the if of salvation. The if of salvation. It's a decision. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says this. That if, there's the word, you ought to circle it, underline it, whatever you do in your Bible. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt, it's up to you. It's your opportunity. It's your time. It's your decision. Jesus Christ has already done everything. It's not if thou canst. It's if you can. Can you believe? Will you believe? Jesus has already done everything. And he simply says to us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the if of decision. Look, if you would, back at the book of Acts, right before Romans. The book of Acts in chapter 8. We find this same word, if, in connection with salvation. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 36, you're familiar with the story of the Ethiopian traveling back from Jerusalem, having been there to worship and reading the book of Isaiah. God says, sends Philip over to his chariot to explain what he's reading in the book of Isaiah. And as he does, in verse number 36 of Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said," there's the word, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You know what Philip's telling him? Ethiopian baptism ain't going to do you any good. Getting in water is only going to make you wet. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And he says to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now the Ethiopian eunuch is faced with an opportunity. He's faced with a decision. He's got to make a choice. Either he's going to believe or he's not going to believe. It's that simple. Can I make it clear this morning how simple it is? He's either going to believe or he's not going to believe. It's that simple. If thou believest with all thine heart, now it's up to him. What is he going to do? If he turns and walks away, he didn't believe. But what happens in verse number 37? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The if of decision. I remember talking to a fellow one time and I said, have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Christ as his Savior? And his response was, well, I don't know. So I said, well, have you ever been married? He said, no. I said, how do you know? Well, he said, because I never got married. I know I'm not married because I never got married. I said, are you saved? Well, I don't know. I said, if you would have gotten married, you would know that you're married, right? Yeah. If you'd have gotten saved, you would know that you're saved. You have an opportunity to make a decision. When you talk to a neighbor, when you talk to a friend or a loved one and say, are you saved? If you trusted Christ as their Savior, if they don't give you a yes answer, you can just mark it down. They're not saved. There's the if of salvation. And a person comes to that if, and like this eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he has to make a decision. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now what are you going to do? Someone says, well, I just always believed in my mind. That didn't work for the eunuch, did it? Well, I was raised. That didn't work for the eunuch. What did he have to say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We go back to the marriage ceremony thing because it is a type of a relationship between the believer and his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that relationship begins when somebody says, I do. I do. Your relationship with God as far as salvation, it begins not by works. See, here's where we're always disagreeing with the major religions. It doesn't begin by you doing works. It doesn't begin by you turning over a new leaf or begin by baptism or anything else like that. It begins by you saying, I do to God. Now, it can be worded in different ways. This eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There needs to be a point in time in your life that you've come to that if of decision and made the right choice. Not said, well, I've always believed, or I've always been taught, or my church says, or I've always thought this or that. There needs to be a point where you come to that crossroad in the if of decision, and you say, I will trust Christ as my Savior. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a big if. And it's the if of salvation. Notice, if you would, in John chapter 7, go back from the book of Acts. We're kind of going backwards here. But look at John chapter 7 and notice this word again being used. Jesus just made it so clear. While I was studying this for this message, I noticed as I was studying the word if that the phrase if any man appears 72 times in the Bible. If any man. That's an invitation. 62 of those times it appears in the New Testament. And I didn't have time I've got them all jotted down, but I didn't have time to run through all of them. But every time Jesus said, or the Bible said, if any man, if any man, if any man, if any man, it was an invitation. It was a time for a person to make a decision by the invitation of Jesus Christ. And notice in John chapter 7, he uses this if in that phrase in verse number 37. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, here it is, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If, it's a decision. If any man thirst. Now, I don't want to sound irreverent, but Jesus wasn't working the soda stand that day. He wasn't giving out physical water. He was speaking of spiritual water. A water, as he told the woman at the well, that would fill up within her and satisfy her very needs. And Jesus said, if you want that water, you've got to come. He said in verse number 37, he said, if any man thirst, let him come. Come to who? Come to Jesus Christ. This church can't quench your thirst. This preacher can't quench your thirst. The only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. When you trust Him, when you confess Him, when you call upon Him, as the Bible says, when you believe on Him, when you face the if of decision and give yourself to Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life, forgiveness of sins, the salvation of your soul. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We're so close. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 9. Again, I've got so many references written down, and we're going to take time to go through all of those. But in John chapter 10 and verse number 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if, there's the invitation, if any man enter in. Can I say this morning that we are offering to you the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life? Not by anything anybody in this room has done. Not by anything that we have accomplished. Not by anything that we are. But because Jesus Christ can. As the man said to him, if thou canst, and Jesus said, no, if thou canst believe. Jesus has already done everything. He went to Calvary's cross. The Bible says He took our sins in His body on that tree. He died in our place. He did not do that for us to get salvation through a church. He did not do that for us to get salvation through good works. He did not do that for us to get salvation through obedience to some kind of ordinance of the church. He did that because when He died on the cross and bore our sins, He said, it is finished. And now He says, if thou canst believe. It's not Jesus, if you can save me. The Bible says He's able to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God by Him. He can save the farthest away from God. He can save the chiefest of sinners. If thou canst believe. It's not whether or not God can do it. It's whether or not an individual will come to that crossroad and that if of decision and say, I will trust Christ. You're familiar with the verse, 2 John chapter 5. You don't need 2 John. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That verse we all know that follows salvation, if, it starts with if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. If. See that condition that's put on it? The word if is a conditional word. And there's the if of salvation. You can have salvation conditioned on what you do with Jesus Christ. Not what you do with anything else, but what you do with Jesus Christ. Now, what you do with Him is going to infect you. What you're going to do with Him will affect you in many different ways. But it's just coming to Him and making that decision. The if of salvation is the one that determines your eternal life. If you have trusted Christ alone for salvation, and I know the majority of people I'm speaking to this morning have already done that. But I also know this, it's possible to go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, week after week after week. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But Brother Chuck, isn't it right? That you're able to go to church Sunday after Sunday for months without being saved? Amen. When Diana got saved at our mother-daughter banquet years ago, Brother Chuck, I didn't intend on saying this and picking on you this morning, but you're in the front row, I'm going to do it. When Diane got saved, Chuck came to her baptism. We baptized her at the YMCA back in the day. And Chuck came there. I believe he was sitting with Brother Roy Barlow and one of the other men of the church, and they were talking to Chuck, inviting him to church. He said, "I'm glad for what's happened to my wife. I'm happy for her, but don't expect to see me in church." I wonder where he is today. And he came, maybe a week or 2 weeks later, he came on a Sunday morning, and then maybe about 3 weeks later, a Sunday night, something like that. I don't remember the exact detail. He was hit and miss, and all of a sudden, he was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, coming up and volunteering, saying, "Preacher, what do you need done around the church? We'd like to paint the floor in the basement down there." He wasn't even saved yet. And it went on for, Mother's Day is probably what, April? Mother's Day is May, and I know you got saved in August, because it was at the tent meeting in Winterset. And so from May to August, May, June, July, August, for that many months, he came to church regular, faithfully, sat there in the pew, we gave the invitation, he never moved. For 3 months, he was in church and didn't get saved. Then one night under the tent up there in Winterset, we were there with Grace Baptist Church, Brother Gary had his tent meeting up there, we're all gathered together, Brother Barrett, I think, preached first, and I preached second, preached on Psalm chapter 23, the Good Shepherd. Gave the invitation, and before I knew what was going on, there was Chuck coming down to the aisle. I got to go down to the altar, kneel next to him, and show him how to trust Christ as a Savior. But he came for months and wasn't saved. So you know what I know is possible? I know it's possible to go to church Sunday after Sunday and fit in with the crowd and be part of the crowd and be like the crowd, even paint the basement. Get active and do things and still not be saved. Can I tell you this morning, I don't say this to get you to question your salvation or doubt your salvation, but to make your calling and election sure. It's not enough to come to church. It's not enough to do good works. It's not enough to do those things. You've got to come to that point where you face the if of decision and you trust Christ as your Savior. And then when you do, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old thing. When you trust Christ alone for your salvation, you have the forgiveness of sins. When you trust Christ alone for your salvation, you have eternal life. When you don't trust Christ, when you're trusting anything other than that, anything but that, you don't have the forgiveness of sins. You don't have eternal life. That's how simple it is. And it all hinges on one two-letter word, if. There's the if of salvation. Then look, if you would, back at Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There's another if. This is not the if of salvation. Salvation's already taken place. But Jesus said in this verse, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Can I tell you, I have wrestled with that verse all week long. And I have hesitated. I mean so much, folks, I sat back in my office and I grabbed my old sermon books out and I said, "God, give me something else. Let me preach something else. I don't want to preach this one. I know where this is going. I don't want to preach this." You know why? Because I know us as Americans in 21st century time, And the words, let him deny himself, are so foreign to our culture that I almost don't even know how to preach on it. You know what that's the if of? That's the if of sacrifice. There's the if of salvation and there's the if of sacrifice. And we just don't know what sacrifice is about. I pick up magazines, I see newsletters, I see reports from different websites, and they talk about Christians in different countries. There's a Chinese man in China, obviously, a Chinese pastor there that's been arrested because he's a pastor of an evangelical church. He's been thrown into prison. He's been beaten. He's had that, you know, all those fancy terms and reassessment and, you know, all those fancy words they use to try to brainwash him and talk him out of his faith and out of his Christianity. And his church is under persecution and under watch. And the policemen went to the church and they stood out front of the church and they watched. The people had known their pastor had been arrested. They knew the police were standing outside their church door. And they had a decision to make. Are we going to go to church? Or are we not? Now folks, I don't know about you, but that humbles me. That humbles me. That some folks have so much of a decision to make that even going to church could cost them something. And we in America blow off church like it wasn't even there. If anything comes up of any importance, however slight, God, surely you don't expect me to deny myself. God, surely you don't expect me to miss this event, miss this thing. It only happens once in a lifetime, once in a decade, once in a year, once in a month. God, you wouldn't expect me to sacrifice, would you? God, surely you'll sacrifice. You'll do fine without me. That's the American mentality. While people on the other side of the world are counting the cost before they even get in their vehicle and drive down to church, knowing the possibility is they'll get arrested and thrown into jail. And folks, here's what happens at the judgment seat of Christ. You get to stand next to that person. I get to stand next to that person. We get to watch as the Lord judges us according to our word. We're saved. We're in heaven. But the Lord's going to review our life and look at us, and we're going to stand there and say, well, Lord, I couldn't go to church because... And this person's going to stand there and say, Lord, even when the police were there, cost me my life, I went. We'll give an account for ourselves. It's a very humbling thing, don't you think? And it really shows us what denying ourselves is really all about. What is more important than God? What comes before Him? We have three services on Sunday. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. One on Wednesday night. Four opportunities to show God is first. I'll deny myself. Whatever my other pleasures, enjoyments, things might be, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with God's people in God's house doing God's things. I'm going to do that. But you got to deny yourself. You got to put down the flesh. Sometimes you got to put other things in the back burner to put Jesus Christ in the front burner. Oh, but surely God doesn't expect that of me. And the Lord says in this verse in Matthew 16 and verse 24, if any man will come after me, if there's a decision to make, what decision have we made? What decision do we make? Have we come after him? If any man come after him, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's the if of sacrifice. It's a very difficult sacrifice to make. Sometimes God will speak to us to make a sacrifice in the area of the music that we listen to. And I'm not here to convince you what music is right and what music is wrong. Most of you know. I don't have to say that. Because when I say it, some people are saying, oh, he's talking about that. Because you know what it is. And God is saying, will you make the sacrifice? It's the if of sacrifice. Will you take care of that one thing? Maybe it's dress. Maybe it's clothing. Maybe it's language. Some words, some vocabulary just aren't glorifying and honoring to God. And God's asked you to make a sacrifice. Well, you know what? Here's the problem. In modern day Christianity, in Baptist churches, of all things, We think that God is, now that we're saved, we can serve God the way we want to. We can serve God according to our desires. And the idea and the thought that God would make us sacrifice or give up anything in any realm is foreign to our way of thinking. And yet God is still saying in this verse, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. I just challenge you this. Take a piece of paper when you get home. Write down on it the times and the things you did in the past week that you denied yourself to do what God wanted you to do. Now, folks, this might sound like hard preaching. It is. And I'm preaching to this guy right here. If it hits you, glory to God. But I tell you, I've wrestled with this all week long. This is not a preacher. The preacher is preaching to congregation to beat them over the head. It's a challenge to you because I see it in myself. That we just, you know, we love the Word of God, we obey the Word of God, we do the Word of God, but then we read these verses like denying ourselves. We think, well, okay, Lord, what do I do in my life? What do I do in my schedule that I'm denying myself for your honor and glory? Try to find it. Now, we can get to some things. Well, Lord, I pray and I read my Bible. Those are good things. But I'm talking about denying yourself. Not just doing things that are convenient. Not doing things that are routine. Not doing things we always do, but where are we denying ourselves, denying ourselves to be obedient to God? Maybe it's in our giving. You know, sometimes all we do is tip God. Our manner of giving to God is just giving Him whatever's in our wallet at the time, and usually isn't very much. And sometimes we give more to the waitresses and the waiters at the restaurants than we give to God on Sunday. God, who had a pattern in the Old Testament for the tabernacle, very intricate. I mean, all the curtains and all the bars and all the gold, everything just spelled out and dedicated. He's interested in every minute detail. And in Exodus 35, He gave the system for giving for that tabernacle and how they would provide for it and how they would do it. God's interested in all the details of what He establishes. In the New Testament, He's built a church. He's interested in all the details. He's interested in the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. He's interested in the officers of the pastors and deacons and gives qualifications and tells us the day to meet on. And may I say this, He gives us a system for giving. God doesn't just do everything intricate and then say, oh, when it comes to giving, you know, whatever you can spare, whatever you got, whatever you think is good, whatever you think is right, it's all up to you. No, He gives us a system for giving. And every time we get our paycheck, we look at that thing and we say, okay, here's what God has given me and here's 10% of that and it's going back to God. God has given us a specific system and it takes sacrifice. Now, you know why I like, how do I say this right? You know why I like preaching on this? Because I don't have to. Our church is not in debt. Look at what God has done. God has blessed us beyond anything we could imagine. And we've got our bills are all paid. You paid the two that came in this week. All right, our bills are paid. Everything's fine. There's extra money. I'm sure there's extra money in the bank. We've got a missions fund. We've got an emergency missions fund. I'm not preaching on this because I think, oh, you need to give more, give more. I don't get a commission. I don't get a finder's fee. If you give over a certain amount, I don't get a percentage of that. I'm going to get what I get paid, regardless of what happens here. So I'm not doing this for the benefit of the church, for the benefit of religion. I'm not a radio preacher, a TV preacher. I'm not a self-promoter. It's not a, you know why I'm doing this? Because I understand that if we deny ourselves, we've got to take up our cross and follow Him. And there's times that we need to deny ourselves. Christians say, well, Pastor, if I tithe, I can't pay this or I can't pay that. You know, it's hard. It's very difficult. But who would you rather owe? Would you rather owe the electric company or God? Who would you rather have come after you? The electric company or God? You say, well, God doesn't do that. No, He's a loving, He's a caring God. But if you've read your Bible enough, you just can't say He doesn't do that. Because He's got a desire, He's got a concern, He's got a plan, He's got it all spelled out. It's very simple. He said to those Pharisees that were making a big deal about other things, he said, you tithe mint of cummins and anon, But you leave out the weightier matters of the law. These you ought to do. And he talks about love and judgment. And not to leave the other, their tithing, not to leave the other undone. God has a system of giving. But to be obedient to God, it takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. How are we doing on the if of sacrifice? On the if of salvation, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, and Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I wonder this morning if we can search our hearts and really ask God, God, in my life, what do I do to sacrifice for you? I'm not asking you to go sell your vehicles and sell your houses. I'm not asking. All I'm asking you to do is examine yourself according to the Word of God. Most of you have faced the if of salvation and made the right decision, so you don't have an if of regret. Remember the man back in Mark chapter 9? If thou canst do anything, there's the if of doubt. Jesus said, if thou can't believe, there's the if of decision. He said, Lord, I believe. He made that decision. If he didn't make the decision, his son wouldn't have got healed. But he made the decision in the right way and had no regret. And this if of sacrifice. Lord, I don't know if you can do this. Lord, if I do this or do that, will you really honor it? Will you really bless me? Will you really help me? Will you really do this or that? God says, if thou canst believe, I can do all things. All things are possible if you'll only believe. Don't end up with the if of regret. Don't have to end up not making that sacrifice, not taking Matthew 16:24 to heart and saying, Lord, I'm not just going to live this life and breeze through it and get through it and exist and get through it and do that. I want to make my life make a difference in my relationship with you. If any man will, let him deny himself and come after me. Have you made that decision for the if of sacrifice? For the if of salvation? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you don't make the right decision on the if of salvation, you'll have the if of regret for all eternity. Because when you don't trust Christ as your Savior, no matter how good and moral and righteous and religious and church-going and church-attending you are, if you don't make the right decision and faith in Christ, you don't have eternal life. And that if of doubt, that could be an if of decision, will turn out to be an if of damnation with an eternity spent apart from God. Is there someone here this morning facing the if of salvation? Then you need to make that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't wait any longer. Don't put it off any longer. Do it today. Ask Him to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, to save your soul. Without it, you'll never see heaven. Without it, you'll never experience the love of God in this life. Christian, what about the if of surrender? What about the if of sacrifice? Have you ever confronted that in your life and made that decision and say, God, whatever it is you want, all that you want, I want to honor you, glorify you, and please you in everything in my life. I want to take up my cross. I want to bear it. I want to deny myself. God gives you opportunities to do that. He gives you opportunities to deny yourself and then watches to see what your decision will be. And every time we get that opportunity, He's watching and He's marking it down and He's keeping an account and He's keeping track, and we're going to stand up next to those Chinese Christians or Cambodian Christians or whatever, old-time Christians that died at the stake and all that and gave it, and we in our ease and comfort are going to stand next to them and give an account to the Lord. We've got a great challenge in front of us. We've got a great motivation in front of us. It doesn't mean that we can't do that in our day as well as they did in their day. Doesn't mean we have to die at the stake or have policemen standing outside the building for us to deny ourselves and serve God. But it means however God speaks to our hearts, we've got to give in to Him. Let's all stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, I am asking this morning that You have spoken to hearts. God, I can only reach ears. Father, You know my heart. God, you know my desire. You have told me in the book of Ephesians that my job as a pastor is for the perfecting of the saints. And Lord, I pray these folks this morning would receive it as such, an encouragement, a challenge, as I take it myself to deny ourselves and take up our cross. And Lord, if you've spoken to a heart, may we not harden ourselves against it or blow it off. But Father, may we respond to you, deny ourselves and take up the cross. Father, we pray especially should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that Father, during this invitation time, you'd help them to step out, to come down this aisle, to express their desire that they want to trust Christ as their Savior and receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Help them, God, as they face that decision of if, to make the right decision as it regards salvation. Bless the invitation. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
308.
Page 308 in the songbook this morning. Page 308. The invitation is here. The altar is open. Whatever God would speak to your heart, you come as we sing. Page 308. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. Jesus, I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now, I surrender all, surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Sing verse number 4. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All right, Brother John, if you would come to the platform and dismiss us in prayer, please. Forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Help them, God, as they face that decision of if, to make the right decision as it regards salvation. Bless the invitation. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
308.
Page 308 in the song.
On me, I surrender.